to Psalm 34, verse 8. We're actually going to be looking at quite a number of passages of Scripture. So this is really all just the springboard, if you will, to the main part of this message. As you've learned in this series of these messages on God's character and person, we've learned that God is a spirit, eternal, immutable, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And you see that he is holy, and therefore you need to be holy. You see that he is sovereign, and therefore you need to trust in his perfect wisdom and power and joyfully submit to his will. Because Satan is constantly slandering God's character and God's ways in the minds and hearts of men today, we need to remind ourselves of and show others God's real character and ways. So today I pray that you will truly understand and believe God's goodness. If you do, you'll see life and the difficulties that you may face in a new light, a new perspective, and with a new attitude. By the way, God's goodness, we are referring not just to intrinsic goodness, because we already know that he is holy, but this term is focusing more on his loving kindness and generosity. And that's often what that word in both the Hebrew and the Greek means, generosity, a giving. So to begin with, realize God's goodness. And by this, I mean understand it and truly believe it. Psalm 119, verse 68 says this, "You are good and do good." In Psalm 86, verses 15 through 17, we read, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." And then Psalm 31, verse 19, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men." I can't probably find a better book of the Bible to find so many passages that describe God's goodness as the Psalms. And so I hope you never skip reading the Psalms. In fact, read it often. I try to read it regularly, even though I'm reading other parts of Scripture, to read through the Bible in a year. God's goodness is revealed in his love. I think you can see that as logical. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "God is love." That's his nature. That's who he is. He is love personified. Love is a description of God's character. He gives of himself. He offers his fellowship in a personal relationship with him. I think you have heard from me and probably many other preachers that the agape love that the Bible describes in the New Testament is a giving kind of love. And that's why in the King James Version, they sometimes translate agape as charity, okay? And of course, we today think of charity as simply giving, whereas before it had more of a connotation of a loving giving. We see this in the Trinity. In John chapter 17, verses 24 through 26, the Lord Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says this, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me," speaking of his disciples, "be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." So we see that relationship within the Trinity, but we also see this kind of giving toward his creatures. In John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So God gives of himself within the Trinity, and also we see that kind of giving toward his creatures, which includes us. God not only gives of himself, but he gives of his gifts, care, provision, guidance, protection, strength, grace, and so much more. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we read, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The King James Version, which very often tries to incorporate poetic language, says, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. So interesting poetic use there. But the idea there is your anxiety. Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Did you hear that last part of that sentence? No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That is an amazing promise, a declaration of what God is like. He gives. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So all these gifts that he gives to us, not only is it revealed in his love, God's goodness is revealed in his mercy and grace. Psalm 84, again, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then two chapters later, Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Someday I may do a study on that Hebrew word translated loving kindness. Chesed is the Hebrew word, and it is more than just one or two words that we could describe in English. It's amazing all that God has wrapped up in that word. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Then Psalm 118, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Notice a theme that repeats itself here. He's good and his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we understand then that mercy is not giving us what we deserve, in other words, punishment. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Okay, I hope you caught that. Okay, good way to remember the definitions of those two terms. Please note that Satan probably works hardest at trying to get you to doubt God's character in the area of his goodness. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, when tempting Eve to disobey God, the serpent calls God's goodness into question. Basically, what Satan was saying is, God just doesn't want you to have the very best. Yea, hath God said, you know, is he saying? Boy, did God really say that? Wow. And you imagine he's keeping something back from you. See, doubt God's goodness. That's what he's tempting. Don't give in to Satan's lie. In fact, one of his names, devil, from the Greek diabolos, means slanderer. So that's one of his names. He slanders God to men, and he slanders men to God. So thankful that we have a wonderful lawyer, advocate on our side, the Lord Jesus, who, when Satan slanders us to God, Jesus says, nope, all taken care of. It's covered under the blood. Wonderful, wonderful to remember that. In light of what we've learned, or at least reviewed, some of this is old hat to you, but I hope that it brought it to your mind again, which is something we need to do on a regular basis, instead of saying, well, I heard that, so I don't need to ever think about that for the rest of my life. Nope, you need to review it regularly. In fact, the Apostle Peter in his first epistle says, I bring these things to your remembrance again, because it's necessary. So in light of what we've learned, or at least reviewed, about God's goodness, you need to respond to God's goodness. Every time you read something in God's word, there's something that God wants you to do about it, whether it's change your thinking, or begin to do something that you haven't been doing, or stop doing something you've been doing, or all sorts of things. You're supposed to respond to it. So don't read God's word like literature. Read it as a personal message from God that would require a response. So God's goodness should, first of all, lead you to repentance. We're told that in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The whole point there is that God is making us aware that God's kindness and tolerance and patience, his goodness, leads us to respond with repentance, to change what we've been doing, to change our thinking, and make new kinds of decisions in light of that. If you're listening to this message today without Christ, if you could not honestly say that if you were to die today or next week or next year, you know that you would go straight to heaven. If you don't know that, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved for eternity, then knowing God's goodness to you and sending his son to die on the cross for you should lead you to repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell. God's goodness, secondly, should cause you to praise and thank him. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. And remember, when the Bible uses the term name, it's really referring to the person. So don't think of a name as just some kind of mantra to say no. It's talking about his person. God's goodness, thirdly, should kindle in you a response of love for him. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. God's goodness, fourthly, should elicit your trust in him. Psalm 31, verse 19 says this, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. And Psalm 36, verse 7 says this, how precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And then in the New Testament, Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Just want to encourage you to think this is prayer meeting, so we pray after our Bible study. And why is it that knowing that God is good should encourage you to pray? Because you know that he wants to do good things for you. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God is just looking for opportunities to do good for you. And so therefore, when you pray, you have that confidence that you can ask God for good things, for things that are according to his will. God's goodness, fifthly, should motivate you to imitate his goodness, imitate his giving nature. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, the Lord Jesus said this, "And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." Why are we giving someone a cup of cold water? Because God is a giving God, and he wants us to be giving too. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." That whole passage is talking about giving and the fact that we imitate God's giving. In addition to imitating his giving, we need to imitate his forgiving. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Wow, I mean, that wraps up that whole principle in one verse. We need to imitate his forgiving. Matthew chapter 18. This is a long passage, verses 21 through 35, but just bear with me and listen as I read it for us. "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" Peter was thinking that was, you know, that was really going the extra mile there. Seven times, you know. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." That's a lot. Do the math. Okay. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made." If you're wondering how much 10,000 talents was, I forget, but it's like in the millions of dollars, okay, in today's money, all right? "So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.'" Keep in mind here, that's absurd. He could never repay these millions of dollars in his whole life, okay? "And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii." You know, a denarii was a day's wage, okay? So multiply that by today's average wage for one day, and that's significant, but it's not millions of dollars. Okay. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." Does that sound familiar? That's what that guy said to his master. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So God wants us to forgive just like Christ forgives us. So we need to imitate his giving and his forgiving. So do you understand God's goodness today? His loving, generous, kind nature. Whether you're here in the room listening on Zoom or listening later on our website, if God's goodness has caused you to see your need to repent of your sins and trust Christ to save you from sin and hell, will you respond right now by truly repenting of your sin and putting your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell? If you'd like some help in doing that, please contact me by texting or email, and we can set up a time to talk in person or on Zoom, and I'll be glad to walk you through what you need to do. Obviously, this is especially encouraging those who are listening on Zoom or listening later on our website to respond to what God wants them to do. For those of you who are truly saved, will you respond to God's goodness by praising Him, loving Him, trusting Him, imitating His goodness, His giving and forgiving, and committing yourself to imitate every aspect of His character? Let's have a time of prayer here before we go to share prayer requests. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we have reviewed about your character and your ways and your nature. Lord, we are so thankful that you are good, not only are good, but you do good, that you display and demonstrate your goodness in your giving so many wonderful gifts, and also by your forgiving. Lord, we are so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would stir up our hearts so that we would desire to imitate you in your goodness. And Lord, may we think about your goodness often through the day. May we rejoice that we belong to you, that you are a good God. And Lord, I pray that as we go to a time of prayer now, that you would open our hearts and bring to our minds things that we need to remember in our prayer so that we can earnestly bring it before your throne of grace and know that we have the requests that we have before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.